The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
For the last part of the sitting, I'd like to offer a guided meditation on expanding awareness. Expanding the lens of attention to include more and more aspects of our experience. What's really helpful for this guided meditation to relax. And I'll keep reminding you of that throughout the time. So to begin, I'd like to ask you to put your attention in your head, the top of your head, your face, the back of your head. And just notice, what's obvious there? What's the obvious experience in your head, face? You might notice heat or coolness, pressure, vibration, tingling, pulsing. Just whatever experience you notice. Relax. Settle back and see if there can be a sense of receiving that experience as opposed to looking for it. More of a being with than looking at. Relax. And as if the awareness of the head were a bubble, gently allow that bubble of awareness to expand, to include not only your head and face, but also your neck. And taking in the sensations of your head, your face, your neck. Whatever's obvious. Relax. And allow the bubble of awareness to expand still further to include your shoulders, the sensations of your head and face, your neck and shoulders, all included in this field, this expanding field of awareness. Relax. And expanding this sense of awareness to include your torso, including your head, your neck, shoulders, and your torso. Whatever sensations are obvious, no need to probe or to look for. Let's settle back and just be with whatever's obvious. Relax. Allow the bubble of awareness to expand still further to include your hips, your buttocks, what's obvious in this field of awareness, your head, your neck, shoulders, torso, hips, and buttocks. Relax. Allow the bubble of awareness to expand to include your arms and your hands. The entire upper part of your body included in this bubble of awareness. And within this bubble of awareness in the upper part of your body, allowing an inclusion also of the inner aspect of the experience, the interior of the body, inside the body from the crown of your head, down through the center of your head, through your neck, your throat. Through your heart and lungs, your stomach, your intestines. Allowing this field of awareness to include not just the surface of the body, but the inner experience from top to bottom, front to back, side to side. Relax. Just noticing what's obviously present. Sometimes it might feel like the awareness jumps around, takes in experience from different parts of this field. A sensation here, a sensation there. Sometimes it might feel like the awareness flows through this area. Sometimes it might feel like the awareness just takes in a broad sense of this upper part of the body. No one way is better than the other. Just recognize the experience as it is presenting itself to you, receiving that experience rather than having an agenda of what to pay attention to. See what is already naturally being known. Being with that experience. Relax. Allowing the bubble of awareness to expand still further to include your legs and your feet, so that now the entire sensing organism, the entire body is included in this field of awareness. Relax. And now, as if this bubble of awareness, allowing it to expand outwards, beyond the edges of your body. Just let go of the idea that your body has edges. And take in the experience in this more expanded field of awareness. Relax. And allow this field of awareness now to include the sense of hearing, as well as your body sensations. Taking in the experience of the head, the neck, the shoulders, torso, hips, buttocks, arms, legs. And hearing. Relax. And now, staying connected with the experience of the body and the hearing, relax and allow the field of awareness to expand by simply opening your eyes. And notice the impact that this has on your experience. At this point, keeping your eyes down, you don't need to look at anything in particular. But seeing if you can stay connected with the experience of the body, the hearing, and the experience of seeing. Just noticing where, how the attention takes in the experience. And now, expanding this still further, actually allow yourself to start looking around the room while staying connected to the experience of your body, the hearing. And just letting your attention drift. And this also includes a little bit of movement of the body as part of this field of awareness. And relax, staying connected with this field of awareness of the body. You can break your meditation posture. Actually, allow yourself to shift. There's not going to be a bell to end this sitting, as if there were some distinction between our sitting practice and our daily life practice. And so I'd like to encourage you to see if you can stay connected with this broader field of awareness as we move into the aspect of listening to each other share experience and speaking. That can be an interesting place to explore this expanded sense of awareness in this speaking and staying connected to this broader field of awareness. It's helpful to explore this kind of expanded sense of awareness from time to time because in our daily lives, we don't have the freedom to so much just focus on things, but more, we're taking in a larger field of experience that includes all of our senses plus content. And so understanding a little bit of this ability that the mind has to change its lens, let's say its lens of attention. The lens of attention can come down and touch one little tiny aspect of our experience right at the nostrils. Come right down and be right there. It can also be much broader. Sometimes as we broaden the field of awareness, as I mentioned in the guided part of the meditation, it can have the sense of the attention kind of jumping to little places. You know, a little bit here, a little bit in the shoulder, a little bit in the abdomen, then a sound, and then a sense of the knee. So it may kind of have that jumpy quality, taking in attention, kind of taking in these small areas of experience and sequence. Sometimes it can be more of a sense of a broader awareness, that we're taking in kind of a broad field, almost as if we were looking at a landscape and not focusing on anything in particular. It can be like a broad sense of the energy of life almost in the body field, the vibratory energy in the body is one sense that we can take in a broader experience. It feels like the attention is not narrow but quite wide. So just an encouragement to explore this changing of this lens of attention has been a helpful exploration in my daily life practice. And so I offer that to you. So it's not uncommon for it to be difficult, this kind of guided meditation. I would say some minds take in a broad range of experience quite naturally. Other minds tend to be more one thing at a time as a kind of familiar way of attending to experience. And I'd say maybe about a third of the people are, you know, able to take in the broad experience and easily, naturally, and a third of the people more naturally in the focused experience, and then the middle third is somewhere in between. And often what seems to be the case is that for people for whom the broad experience is easy, it's more difficult to come down and be a little more specific. And for people for whom the specific experience is easy, it's harder to be broad. And it's not a judgment on either side, it's just minds, and minds are different. So both sides of the exploration are helpful to cultivate from time to time. Just to begin to get a sense of the possibility that there might be a different lens that we can look through our experience at. When I first began the practice, my mind was pretty narrowly focused. It picked up on individual little experiences. And the first time my teacher asked me to pay more broad attention, it was just like, what do you mean? I mean, I have no idea what that was about. And over the course of time, the first way it began to make sense to me was, like within this broader field of attention, oh, there's a sensation up here, then there's a sensation over here, and then kind of like a bouncing attention ball, you know, pop, 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 just kind of taking in the broader field, but still pretty narrow attention. And just gradually over time, I began to understand the possibility for that broader attention. And for me, it was also kind of difficult. It was a slow process to begin to move to that. I actually didn't believe it was possible. I was skeptical that you could have a broader sense of experience. Now, just one exploration right now. It's sometimes easier to do it in the small to begin to see this. So right now, put your attention in your thumb. Just your thumb. And that's a pretty small area. So just noticing the experience of sensations in your thumb. And now see if you can take in the whole hand. So that the attention takes in the larger experience of the whole hand kind of at once. That that can sometimes give you the sense of the capacity the mind has to narrow and broaden the attention. Often we can take in something the size of our hand. At least for me, that was a good size. Hand seemed to be about the size my mind could take in. After that, it was like it got really confused. But through that kind of exploration, I began to see, oh, actually there is a kind of a broader possibility of attention. And so just from time to time exploring it and knowing that, yes, for some people it is more difficult, and just recognize that it's not a judgment. For those that it's easier to do that, often it's more difficult to do the other. So, just exploring. And it's... I often suggest for people, you know, sometimes there's another terrain of practice where there tends to be differences in different minds, and that is kind of along these same lines, but, you know, whether minds concentrate easily, whether we can move into concentration easily, or whether we can attend to open to mindfulness, the flow of changing experience easily. And, sometimes the people who have a natural sense of being able to just attend to changing experience easily have some difficulty focusing, concentrating the mind on one object. And sometimes with that recognition, oh, I have trouble with that area, it's like we begin to think, well, okay, since concentration is the area where I'm not so good at, then that's what I need to work on. And with meditation, I generally find that it's helpful to start from your strengths. Really cultivate those strengths. And then expand a little bit from time to time to find a bridge to those other areas. So... In the Dharma and in the practice, sometimes it seems like there's a large difference between various areas, but there's always a way to find a connection between the different aspects of the practice. And so if, for instance, loving kindness practice is just foreign to you, doesn't make any sense whatsoever. For me, this was the case, you know, it's like, I would try to do loving-kindness practice and get tied up in knots. And so I just basically let go of it for a long time and just practiced the mindfulness, which is much more natural. And then at some point I began to recognize, one of my teachers said, you need to do metta practice. It was a Burmese teacher. And, this was in Burma, and you follow the instructions of your teacher in Burma. None of this, you know, well, I don't think that teacher knows what they're talking about. I'll do what I want to do. I mean, you do what they say. So I began doing it. But he said, do metta practice, it will help you. And I thought, Sayadaw, you don't know me. But okay, I'll give this a try. But by that point, there had been actually a shift. I had let go of the metta practice for so long, struggled with it for so long and let go of it. I had cultivated my mindfulness. And I had cultivated my mindfulness enough by that point that there was an openness of the heart that could now begin to connect with the metta practice. And I was shocked, actually. He was right. It helped me. And so I realized, okay, the mind did build that bridge. I didn't even see it building that bridge. So, you know, sometimes it's helpful, like in that case, I just let it go for a long time. I didn't even try to go to metta practice for ages until that teacher said, try it, see what happens. And to my surprise, by that time, it was a couple of years of letting go of metta practice. It was a long time. You know, a couple of years of just the mindfulness, the acceptance of what is, opened the heart enough to be able to do the metta. So that was the bridge. But I would not have chosen to go there on my own. So it did take a little bit of a teacher suggesting, try this, see what happens. And if it had still been that I ended up wound into self-judgment, criticism, hatred, I would have reported that, and he would have said, okay, well, maybe not to practice. But it actually was helpful at that point. So, you know, start with your strengths, cultivate those, and then from time to time maybe explore these other areas, explore these expanded, different places. But I wouldn't necessarily like beat yourself up with, like me, you know, metta practice, that's what I need work on. I'm going to do metta practice. Okay, metta. Oh, I hate myself. Oh, metta, metta. That would not have been so helpful. Thank you. Thank you. What you said about the context of what you said around the what I talked about Monday, the fact or the way that when we're not mindful, essentially what's in charge, what's making our choices is our habits, our conditioning. And the way you explored it, I'm just going to repeat it here so the tape will have it, of actually consciously looking at, in this situation of this meeting with this relative, of consciously reflecting on what would be my normal, habitual actions, and how do I want to engage, perhaps from that sense of purpose, you know, connecting with that sense of our deeper aspiration, our deeper purpose. And what is it I really want to do? So this is part of daily life practice that, you know, it's not so much in our sitting practice, this reflection. So I want to highlight that because it's really beautiful what you described, that process of reflecting, perhaps in advance. We're going into a situation where something we anticipate perhaps, maybe a little reactivity or maybe a little bit of old habits coming in.
I'm really a good person, I think, was one of the main things.
So
don't believe.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There would have been quite a bit of that, for starters. But it's a very long story, but I was trying to stay out of the story.
Right, trying to stay out of the story.
No, I am.
So
there were a lot of things.
So, the reflection beforehand, you know, if you know you're heading into a situation, using that time to reflect, and it's beautiful the way you thought about it, what would be my conditioning? Oh, you know, that doesn't feel so good, you know, so it's like, it's a practice, that reflective practice I talked about that first day, of bringing something to mind and then seeing how does it land, you know? And then these other things, what do I really want to communicate? What's important? What's my priority? What's my purpose? What's my aim? You know, how might I communicate that instead? That's beautiful, and that's a really beautiful practice, you know, especially when we're headed into a place where we see, and this is another area of daily life practice. Sometimes one of the things that mindfulness in daily life begins to show us is the areas where we lose mindfulness. You know, where do we habitually find ourselves not mindful? I walk into that office with my coworker, and boy, I lose it. Okay. So seeing that, rather than judging yourself, you know, it's like, you know, I always lose it there, and, you know, I'm such a failure, you know, rather than having that perspective, use it as helpful information. Oh, when I get in that situation, there are conditions present that pull me out of mindfulness. Can I get curious about that? And sometimes a little bit of preparation going into a situation like that can be very helpful. Reflecting on your purpose, how you might bring your purpose in. Reflecting on the ways you might habitually react. And that reflection itself might help you to steer your interaction a little more skillfully. So thank you. That was beautiful. Do you mind if I record my response? Okay. Is that similar, what I just described about reflecting in advance, connecting to your purpose, is that similar to setting your intention? I would say yes. You're connecting. The word intention is it's got a lot of different meanings in the practice. And so I think in the way you're talking about it, intention towards purpose, yes, intention towards purpose, that this practice is kind of, you know, that reflection beforehand, connecting with our purpose helps us to actually remember our purpose and can help us to engage from that purpose. So it is, that is, yes, that is kind of setting the intention. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So the question about exploring balance in action, how to do that, especially when one doesn't really understand necessarily, doesn't have a sense necessarily of what it means to have balance. So in this case, connected to a purpose of service, whether that desire to help, that wish to help, is coming from a place of balance or a place of imbalance. So in this exploration, it's helpful, I mean, as I was talking about finding a bridge, you know, it's helpful to start with what does resonate, what you are able to connect with as the beginnings of a bridge. And with respect to balance, I think one of the first places where we can connect is there a sense of tension, or is there a sense of not tension? So from that very simple place, just balance actually, in my exploration, you know, balance, we have a certain idea or a certain resonance or a certain experience of what balance is. And like our purpose, that gets refined over time. You know, we may start with a particular sense of what balance is, and then in the exploration we see, you know, it's kind of like, well, this isn't balanced, you know, that the larger areas of imbalance are kind of obvious. You know, we're angry, okay, that's not balanced. We're wanting, we're really wanting, and that's not balanced. You know, the actual physical experience of those feels like we're being pulled out of balance. So, you know, we start from what's not balance, you know, recognizing what's not balance, and maybe from time to time seeing, oh, some of those things aren't there. And you actually mentioned this in your description, seeing when anxiety is there and when it's not there. So the recognition of the absence of imbalance, the absence of aversion, of greed, of anxiety, begins to point us to that level of balance that's more accessible to us at this point. So that's where to begin, you know. So I think you kind of pointed to it in your own description, you know. Look at where our obvious sense of imbalance is not there, and begin to get familiar with that. And then it refines, you know, within that place of what feels like less reactivity. I mean, our minds are kind of layered, you know. We have so many different layers of subtler and subtler levels of imbalance. So that when the kind of more obvious ones begin to fall away, it's like, oh, wow, okay, so this feels pretty balanced. But then once we begin to explore that terrain, we see, oh, there's little bits of imbalance in that, what I thought previously was balance. And sometimes it can feel, the more settled our mind gets, the more clear our mind gets, it's almost like the more sensitive it gets. And so sometimes it can feel like, oh, wow, you know, I was so settled, and now it's like, it's even worse than before. You know, I've gone backwards or something. We have that sense of going backwards. But I think a lot of it is that, you know, the mind just gets more attuned to peacefulness, and so therefore is more sensitive when it's pulled out of that. So the layers, you know, sometimes larger layers can fall off or really get thinner, maybe not go away completely, but get much thinner. We get a lot less reactive. I mean, many of you, I think, have this experience of seeing through the years of practice. If this situation had happened to me 5 years ago, I would be on the roof. Whereas now I'm, you know, maybe I'm upset about it, but I'm not like out of control. So, you know, we see how things settle. So those layers of reactivity get thinner. But we get more sensitive in a way, you know. So reminding ourselves of how we might have responded a few years ago can be helpful in supporting us as we do this refinement practice. Because sometimes we do get a little discouraged as we see in the inner layers. We still see, oh, there's still a lot of reactivity. I thought it was gone. No, it's going to be with us for a long time. And it's just this refinement. It's like being, purification is a good word. You know, the Buddha uses this example of purifying gold and how, you know, you work the gold, you heat it up, and then some of the impurities come out, and you can, you know, then you work it some more, and more impurities come out until it just gets more and more refined. It's very much the way this process works. So to come back to balance, start where you recognize imbalance. And then recognizing when that sense of imbalance isn't there, that's closer. That's closer. That's your current level of understanding balance. So get familiar with what your current level of understanding balance is. And then there is the approach of... So that's one side of it, is the mindfulness side, noticing where there's contraction, tightness, where there's openness. And that's a real good, simple exploration. You know, you're getting ready to take an action. Is there a wired upness about it? Is there an openness, ease about it? The other side to come from is actively cultivating balance. If you have that, and this is true for pretty much any wholesome quality, what I'm talking about here. It might be compassion that you're interested in exploring. It might be kindness. It might be generosity. In pretty much any of these wholesome qualities that we explore, one way to approach it is by noticing what's in its way, getting familiar with what kind of blocks it, and then noticing when that block is absent. That gives you the sense of touching into the quality, kind of backing into it when that thing that's in its way goes away. And then from the other side is the active kind of inclining the mind towards that quality, inclining the mind towards compassion, inclining the mind towards balance. And this is a little bit of an exploration. What works for you to support balance? Some of these wholesome qualities have specific practices to explore with them. I'm not going to go through all of those right now. You can we can talk about those afterwards, or you can look in books for some of these practices. Kindness, love, compassion, joy and equanimity have some formal meditation practices associated with them that you can explore to cultivate that quality. And then another way to come at it is through questions in your mind. Like, what would it mean to be balanced in this situation? Just asking that question, not trying to create balance, but just asking that question, what would that mean? kind of be open and see if that question kind of allows you to touch into something. Another way, another use of questions or reflections would be to actually bring in some wisdom. I think I talked about this sometime this week, bringing in the reflection, you know, something like this is impermanent, or this is, you know, whatever aspect of the experience we're out of balance around, bringing in a kind of counterbalancing wisdom around it. This is impermanent. This is unreliable. This is not a lasting place of happiness. This is not me. This is not mine. Those kinds of reflections can sometimes bring in a little bit of balance also. I'm not sure to record this. It's a little too contextual.